Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and this is Tracy Mahan. Woo-hoo! I love it. We did our hands at the same time. And we're so excited to be here with you because Tracy's been on vacation. And so, I mean, doesn't she look great? She looks so zen. And so
lots of relaxation.
Absolutely. So excited to continue now with our show. See, that was the reason we weren't doing the shows, is because Tracy was off having fun, pretending it was work, you know. Anyway, enough of that.
A girl's got to do what a girl's got to do.
So we're continuing back on our level three, our QHHT level three series. And so excited for one of our, I think, are you our newest? No, there's been somebody since you now. Oh my gosh, you're not the newbie now. Not the newest. So anyway, Lipa Rath from India, and you are in India, right?
Yes.
So excited, Lipa Rath, everybody.
Yeah. No. We do need to remind you, you're on radio.
Birthday, dear.
Here we go.
Nats, and good luck all year through.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. It's such a joy to be surprised on your birthday. It's such a gift.
And so did you plan that when Tracy was setting this up, did you plan it to be on your birthday? Oh. Or it just worked out that way?
No, I had no idea. And we were going back and forth. And
yeah, it wasn't originally planned for this day. So.
Wow. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Julia.
This is wonderful. Thank you for sharing your day with us.
Thank you so much for the honor. It's really, really, what a wonderful start. What a wonderful start.
That's right. It's very early in the morning for you, isn't it?
Yes, it's 5:30 a.m. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No, I'm so excited.
Well, this is definitely a different way to start your day.
Yeah, sure. I made sure that I'm wide awake and my brain is working.
Look how good you look. It's 5:30 in the morning and look at you.
She looks better than I do. Oh, wait. No, I'm well rested from vacation. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's very motivating or incentivizing, whatever, to go, okay, someday maybe I could wake up at 5:30 in the morning and look like this.
Oh, I mean, that's so sweet.
It is possible to do, apparently.
Right? Living proof right here with us live on BBS Radio.
Yeah.
I do want to announce, if people are listening through the radio station, if they want to see the video version of this show so that they can see the gorgeous faces, they can go over to the Facebook live feed. We have that on the Dolores Cannon page and also on BBS Radio. So go do that.
Yeah. Super. And if the rest of our team is working tonight, and I don't know if they are or not because they've had a long day today.
Summer's on there.
Fantastic. Summer, I was going to say, Summer may be sharing it on a QHHT page and different places too. So
perfect.
Wonderful.
She's a rock star.
Yes,
Jenny. Let's do shout out to the office.
Absolutely.
An office office kitty who keeps everyone inspired.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Q.
Q.
Q kitty. Yep. Could it be any other name? No.
No. So. That would be wrong.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, Lipa. I don't know your story. I don't know, you know, and that's what I love to hear about is how, you know, what got you to where you are now. I mean, your journey, because I think you have, I mean, I've seen little pieces of stuff about you, and but you had more of a professional or corporate background or something. Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought. And so it's like, first of all, what got you there? And then how does one change from that into this very metaphysical, spiritual world and into QHHT?
This is where we lean in.
Mm-hmm.
So you want me to start?
Mm-hmm. Start at the beginning, start wherever, yeah, go way back.
I think I was very fortunate to be born into a family of metaphysicians.
Oh.
Yeah, like most people who practice.
Like most people that practice. No.
No.
No, no, usually it's quite the opposite.
Oh. But, you know, it's not always easy to be born in a family which is so much into metaphysics right from the time you're born. But then you go through your teenage, your 20s, and you just want to give it all up. You want to find your own.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it's a blessing because when you go back and you understand that there's just this blessing which was always there. And the good part is that you get to know that you have chosen these parents or your family. So yes, so, and you don't always get this kind of an opportunity where you know your life is about serving the spirit, serving yourself, you know, these kind of things. I think it's a big deal. I mean, I really feel so many of us who know that this is a metaphysical world, truly, and not just a physical world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so much about the metaphysics that brings the physics part, the material
Absolutely.
Part.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so you were raised in that, and then you wanted to go off and kind of recreate yourself and go, I'm mm-hmm. going to find out what I believe, or whatever.
Okay,
is that
so
what you did? You know, the other route?
So I when I grew up, my father was a cardiologist. He was a pioneer in bringing specialized medicine into our state in India. So I come from the eastern part of India, that's Orissa. And it's not so much... it's not so much into a well-known state. It's more of a like a sleepy state. Not too many people knew about it, which was really a great fortune. It's very sublime, very spiritual, and very serene. So growing up in those conditions were really nice. And my father being a doctor, and also my grandfather who started this Theosophical movement in our state. So he was also a pioneer in a way. So I lost my mother when I was 2 years. So my grandfather was actually a proxy parent.
Okay.
And he would show me the stars and say, you know, he was also a doctor and say, you know, the scientists have not proved, but there are living beings all over. And so for a child, it's such an amazing wonderment, you know, that you get to, oh, wow, there's so much more. So there was a lot of discussion about paranormal, metaphysics, and astronomy. He had a big binocular. So that's how, you know, my childhood was. But one thing as I grew up, I understood that my father was a very, very successful doctor. And much later, he confessed that, you know, it's not, you know, God is just helping me become an aid in this part, but he's actually doing the healing. Mm-hmm. And if I were to tell my patients, then God can heal you, they won't come to me. Because once they believe that, they will be healed.
Mm-hmm.
So he had that awareness. And then I when I watched him, I now when I look back, I think he must have been a Freemason in a previous life. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, he must have been one of those hermetics who studied under Hermes Trismegistus, if I'm saying it correctly. Because often when it came to, you know, disciplining us, he won't shout, he won't say something loudly. He would break into a shloka, like an incantation, and then so be it. So
it had to be its own kind of intimidation, right?
Uh-oh.
It's not good.
Interesting. I didn't get all that. I didn't get all that until now that I realized that, you know, he was using those things. And very often when he would talk to patients, he would see 30 patients a day until he passed on. Mm-hmm. And he would just touch them very gently on their shoulder, on their back, and whisper something very softly and gently. So, and then I just noticed that he would use like some kind of, now that I'm looking back at it, mm-hmm. I feel he was using the power that is there.
Yeah, the power of suggestion, or wonderful.
Because he knew that he was so conscious and aware of that. So that was the thing. And my grandfather was he started the Theosophical movement. He, along with my father's maternal uncles, were the pioneers also in the profession of medicine, allopathic medicine. So they were the first ones to bring Western medicine into our state. So they would often have meetings, and I think they were also Freemasons. I mean, this is my guess, because I would often find them sitting inside a room and have meetings and also whisper things, and they were photographs of many of these masters, ascended masters, and they would use some kind of, you know, geometric patterns. Now that I'm looking back, and these things are coming, I can see those things, that table, you know, those discussions. I think they were channeling something without saying that they were channeling. And my father's uncle, who was a very, very well-known professor in medicine. He was the first one to start in the state, Dr. Sarachandra Mishra. So he was like a saint. Mm. And my father stayed with him when he did his medicine. And, you know, it's not just that you study medicine, but it's also you... when you stay with somebody who is like that, you embody certain qualities. So my father actually embodied those qualities from his uncle. And he would do the same thing. These people have so much love. It's like, it's the love that healed. People would come, they would take appointments from, you know, at least 7-10 days to meet my father's uncle. He was a saint. Like, he would touch them and they would be healed. And that's it. It's just the belief and what he carried. So childhood was a lot of these kind of moments. I didn't have an understanding as a mental understanding, but I felt this deep sense of love. And I also felt that, you know, although I didn't have my mother, although I was bullied a lot, but I felt this tremendous sense that, you know, Lipa, you're important. You're important enough. So I think somewhere looking back, I feel that was really something that held me together.
Well, you were living it. You were living it throughout your life, where somebody, you know, we're learning it. So that's why it's come through the mental stage and for us, and it went through that, and we had to, you know, adapting, and now you get to a point finally where you actually live it. And that's how you were raised, was in.
But I didn't have any idea. I'm now getting it all together, you know. you know, these geometrical shapes and these binoculars, and now it's all making sense to me.
Yeah, that is awesome.
That's kind of
And it's so interesting. My grandfather, I mean, they're all Indians, but he looked so Russian. He, in fact, he was so light complexion. I mean, he was so fair that he almost looked like a Caucasian. And in fact, Dolores looked like as if she was his daughter. You know, they had so much resemblance. So that was so interesting.
Fascinating, yeah. Very cool. I'm over here trying to find all the little pages that we're going live on. I do want to thank Summer because she did get it up for us. So just a shout out to her again. But when we're done with the shows, you're going to want to go check out the different comments and stuff that are going on the pages that it's going on live on Facebook, because people are coming in and joining us. And so we are looking at that. If you guys want to comment or ask questions, I'll do my best to kind of watch that page and bring the questions in if anybody that's listening would like to ask us questions. So, all right. I think this is fascinating about the Freemason stuff and the things that you're having these aha moments as you look back as an adult looking at it and going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm connecting some dots. But they didn't refer to it the same way we would today.
I don't remember those details. They because, you know, they were so much into the intellectual part, which I couldn't grasp at that time, thankfully. Otherwise, I would have lost a lot of things, you know. It's but, good, you know, that I could understand everything intellectually.
What just came to me was, you know, they were having these meetings and they were having these, you know, it's probably a very, you know, these discussions, and it's almost like very mysterious, almost like a mystery school, or almost like a, you know, so it may have been something along that, where they're not even Freemasons. I don't know what they do in Freemasons, but my father was but I don't know. So yeah. It's so secret, it's such a secret thing. Their meetings, and but I wonder, I mean, that's and as far, you know, you're going back some years there, and it makes me wonder if it wasn't, because you're in a whole different societal structure than here in the States. You know, I mean, you guys have been around all this for so long. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it wasn't, you know, just like gatherings, you know, like that, where they got together and discussed these, you know.
You know, people are mostly devotional. They believe in God. But here, having proof and having a direction, and then, you know, knowing that all religions are same.
Yeah.
It's not based on religion, but it's based on something supreme, greater than any religion can proclaim, and something it's personal. So that was very interesting. So as a child, I thought, when I was very young, I wanted to be a magician.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, now, tell us more about that.
So, I was the youngest of the three girls that we were, three daughters. So, since I was the youngest, nobody paid attention. I mean, nobody knew what I was doing. So, I had this opportunity of, you know, exploring and experimenting with a lot of stuff. So as a kid, I mean, I must be about 4 or 5 or maybe less than that. So when somebody would come to a house, in Indian houses, when you come, you enter, you remove your shoes or your slippers, and then you come. So what I would do, I would just go and hide those slippers, hid them somewhere, like in, and just watch them, what they're doing, you know? Have they forgotten? Oh, what is it? Are they curious that, you know, did I leave them here? Or how did it go there? You know, I would love to watch them, you know, what's going on in their head when they're seeing their slippers are not there and it's slightly away somewhere, you know? So I would be very fascinated experimenting all these kind of things. Or We had these old-fashioned thermometers, remember? They used to be mercury inside.
Right.
So I would pretend that they just got, they broke. But actually, I would break them to play with the mercury. Because in those times, I think mercury was still not proved to be poisonous.
It was a fun thing to play with because it was so...
You can't hold them. You can't hold them. So it was fun.
So I'm getting a request in the chat room. The music that's playing in the background, I'm not sure where that's coming from, but I guess it's distracting.
I'm so sorry.
That's great. We just want them to be able to hear what you're saying. And so that was good that I didn't realize that was distracting. And I could hear it. I guess I just didn't.
Yeah, I was
wrapped up in things. So I'm glad that that got mentioned. We're taken care of.
Mm-hmm. But you know, what I'm hearing, I mean, from what you're describing, is it sounds like you were a very mischievous little child.
Yes.
Well, she fits right in. As we're like, yes.
Exploring, curious. Let me see what else I can do. Oh, what does this do? non-rule follower.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then, you know, I would pretend that I would daydream in a swing up. And then I would pretend that I'm wearing this cloak and I'm invisible and I'm going into these rides and doing all sorts of things in that under that invisible cloak. But the interesting fact was, I thought nobody watched me. Nobody knew what was happening. But much later, I got to know my father was completely aware of what I was doing.
Did he give you the look?
He wasn't a
lecturing type. Did he put his hand on your shoulder and whisper something?
He was smart. He was very smart. And then I was like, oh, did you know that? He would say, I'm your father. <You know>? Yes. So that was very indulging. You know, he was a very indulgent parent. So that was good.
Yeah. I think that's kind of fun that he knew and he was letting you do it anyway. And
yeah. I think he was happy that I was somebody who was experimenting and playing with fire sometimes. They still do.
She just opens these things.
Old habits, you know, as lighters are being lit. Okay. Yeah. I know who I'm hanging out with at the next QHHT party.
You know why? One of the things, when I look back, why I used to be like that, it was a defense mechanism. Because we lost our mother when I was 2 years. My sisters were 8 and 10. And there was a huge sense of grief in the house.
Mm.
Huge. It was not denied. The grief was never denied. But for a child, you can't live in grief for too long.
Right.
You want to invent ways where you can have fun. So I guess that was the reason. So I think that was also one of the reasons why my father also allowed me to explore things.
Yeah.
Well, he sounds like a pretty amazing dad.
Yeah, he was. But, you know, like when you grow up, you understand that there were other battles we had battles. So,
no, don't touch on that. I'm curious. Oh, no, I'm curious, what was the moment you found QHHT when you're like, oh my gosh, I got to do that?
Okay. So this was when I was writing a book called Living Courageously. Hmm. And that was in 2011. And that time I was a big fan of Doreen Virtue. I'm still a fan of her work. She's so wonderful. I met her also So she had talked about Keepers of the Garden in one of her books. And she said that she had met this lady known as Dolores Cannon. And it just strangely sounded very, the name sounded very familiar. And then I looked at Dolores Cannon. I said, wow, this is home. My God. And that time, I was just so curious about what happened at Atlantis, what happened at the deluge. And, you know, that stuff, I was just completely taken over by those sessions that people had, and all of them were saying the same thing. And I never thought that, you know, I should do a QHHD session or I should be a practitioner. I was just like, wow, Dolores. I mean, I just want to hear her. So metaphysical hours, I think I have heard so many hours of metaphysical hour. So that was really something. But it was much, much later that I found, I thought I should do this. Because I was when you started, it's like you're an intuitive. So, and you know, there's a reason why you do things that you do. So I was trying to work with mediumship. And there were some people who came and they were helped. Maybe that was what it was meant to be. But much later, I felt, no, there's more. I attended Dr. Brian Weiss's classes, workshop. But it was mostly for myself, but not as how I can help somebody. Yeah. And that was still a very big thing for me, that I wanted to help people in a meaningful way. So that's when I found, I thought, should I do QHHT? But before that, I did some other hypnotherapy courses. I think looking back, I am so much more grateful because I have something to compare it with. QHHT and other hypnotic methods. It's like, wow, here there's a laser surgery, and here you're just going into the old-fashioned butcher's way.
The used scalpel you found on the floor versus laser technology.
good analogy.
Yeah, wow, we are so old-fashioned. And it's simple, and it's all about the tricks. And that was like, again, a magic thing. So yeah, so that is how I found Dolores. And then when I searched the website, I didn't find a single person, an Indian who was a QHHT level 3 practitioner. I said, that's me.
That spot's reserved.
You found that spot and you put your name in it. I like it.
Yes. That's how it I came.
So did you do level 1 online or live?
Yes, I did level 1 online, level 2 online. So that was really tough. Level 2 online in 2017.
Oh, that's right. When we streamed it. Yes. Yeah. I think, wait a minute, we're just now doing it online. But we did that class where we streamed it. Yes.
We streamed it.
Yeah. So your first live experience was at the level 3 class then.
Yes. Wow. So I was surprised what I was doing till then.
And guys, she did her level 3 in Hawaii.
Oh,
so, you know, so she really made it a good experience.
Yeah, make it worth your while. That was good.
It was. I think it's very important to do a level 3. Go to the level 3 and know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. It's much more personalized, isn't it?
Yes, it's so much more personalized. Sorry. And you also get to look at your own shadows.
Yeah.
That's what we say level three, I mean, level two is about honing your skills. Level three is about honing you. And that's a wonderful way of, you know, it's so exciting when you get that. Because like you're saying, yeah, you do, you're looking at your shadows, you're looking at your fears, you're looking at all these things are there and you don't even realize it. So, yes, that's a beautiful thing. So what, and not to put you on the spot, anything, do you want to share anything that with some of your stuff that you were dealing with? Or?
Sorry, I can get you.
Oh. In level three, you said you're dealing with shadows. You don't need to.
What I meant shadow was that I felt it was very important. It is very important to have a good attitude. So it's so important because here you are learning, even if you know you have crossed that age of, you know, maybe you're no longer in your 20s or 30s. But you're there, you're still learning. And to have that attitude of a student, that I'm still learning, it's okay to make mistakes. Because one thing I learned recently, that it's not about perfection. It's never about perfection, but it's about mastery.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to make that a motto somewhere. It's not about perfection. It's about mastery.
Yeah.
We can wear it on t-shirts. Because that nails it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it made, you know, then you relax and you say, oh, if it's for mastery, then, you know, it's not one lifetime maybe, you know, one lifetime you learn this thing. So then you relax and you say, okay, so I'm just going to take it easy on myself first.
That's when it works, isn't it?
I mean, a lot of forgiveness. And then at level three, what I really took back was looking at my friends, like the other two people who were with me. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, Monica, the level three practitioner. Mm-hmm. I mean, these classes are so important, especially when you're having it in a group. You become like, you know, your students again. So what I really felt from her is the sense of being in your inner heart. And until then, I was so completely left-brained. And still I am more left-brained.
Well, that's what's so good about the live class. Is because you get that. It's really, not quite as easy to get in an online.
Exactly.
That camaraderie is really, really important.
Yeah, I had that conversation today, actually, about the live classes. There is a different element to them. You know, you get the same training, but you get that companionship, the group energy, and that's pretty special, too, so...
It is. And the other thing that I also found out from the level three class is about feedback. How do you receive feedback and how do you give feedback? So being in the corporate for a long time, and I was in the human resources side, in the HR. So... wow, I've got the hardest feedback. But then you figure out.
I think all of it, you know, it's like you said, how you receive it, but it's all, I mean, especially if you're coming from a place as I want to be perfect, and then it's like any feedback is, oh my gosh, that's the first reality. I'm not perfect. And that happens a lot in level three. That's like this huge thing that shatters, and it's really devastating. And so I think that's what I love that you pointed that out. It's not about perfection, because that's one of the biggest things we've got to get across, is that's not what it is.
It's like every day you remind yourself, it's not about perfection. You just, but it's hard to remember that, you know, it's not about perfection.
Especially if you're that kind of personality, that's what you know, always... strived for. That's always been your thing. And but it does really relax once you go, you know, that's not it.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, mastery is a big deal. And I think that's really what you're going for when you go for perfection. We just never were taught that is actually what you're working on. And so, but yeah, I can feel it. Like when you say it, it's like, it relaxes. It's like this whole thing comes off the shoulders. You know, self-imposed stuff.
It is. It's a great mirror. Here, look at your stuff. Yep.
Super. So did your sessions change any after levels, after?
Absolutely, Julia.
So we're doing something right, huh?
Oh, yeah. You're like, you know, this thing in your laptop, you have this disk compact. So it's like something like that. You have a lot of space that were, you know, not used, and you didn't know what was happening. So it all gets nicely packed. Quick. It's amazing how it happens. Cool. So one thing I wanted to share was that you asked me during that class in level 3 that have you noticed why you are here? What kind of patterns do you notice? And until then, I was oblivion to any sort of pattern. I didn't know. But then after coming back from that class, I just realized that there's so much happening underneath. So much happening. Where I live now, it's Gurgaon. It's in New Delhi. It's on the outskirts of New Delhi, the capital city of India. This is the place where the Mahabharata started. I mean, Mahabharata, the Kurukshetra, where the battlefield was, where Krishna, Lord Krishna, the Pandavas and the Kauravas, they had this war between the brothers, between cousins. Right. That happened in Kurukshetra, which is about 60 miles or 100 kilometers, something away from it. And here in Gurgaon is a place of archery. The Guru Dronacharya, the one who taught the archery, the guru of archery, he had his ashram here. So what I understood and what has been happening, coming through in my session, and it happened very recently. Very recently, I had a close relative through which this session came through. And this was, she was seeing a scene after the Mahabharata was over. And Krishna, Lord Krishna, is giving a review of what happened about the war. And he said, you know, the worst thing that humanity can do is fight between brothers. Mm. And that was like, wow. Mm. So, and you know, it's, I believe in Latin, it's called fratricide, brothers killing brother. So he said, humanity grows when brothers become friends, and power has to be distributed properly. Even the younger brothers, people, everyone has wisdom, and that wisdom has to be honored. And that is what is needed now. Again, you know, from the session, it came through that there were some outsiders who came and told us that you're not powerful enough. You're not good enough. Wow. And that's how the division happened. Mm. And that's what we have come here to help heal. And that's in the DNA. It's the same thing. You have come here to upgrade your DNA. Wow. Isn't that wonderful?
And I like that. Brothers, not fighting brothers, would be nice.
Yeah.
That's
and that's the power. I mean, that's everything. they feel threatened, that they are powerless, and they do all sorts of things because they don't feel good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and like you said, it's also like from the outside, because we all the time have things on outside of us telling us things like that. And it's saying, go within, you have the power, you know, listen to you, not to what the outside world says.
And that's such a powerful message too.
Mm-hmm. That's a very, yeah, I felt that was a very powerful thing.
Very good. Yes. Now you were saying that was that's a pattern. Because you said, like in level 3, I asked if that was a pattern or if there was a pattern.
What I see is that there's a lot of power struggle between brothers, between men and women, between sisters. There's just a lot of things that, you know, people don't feel good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if I've mentioned this earlier, but I was working in the human resources in the corporate. The reason, the primary reason that I left for the corporate world and I came to a spiritual community, I was totally dejected by the way people treated women and the way they treated me. I wouldn't say women, but that I felt very humiliated. Many a times, it was like a trade-off, you know? Can you give me a favor? And the interesting part is, you know, you would go for a job interview and they would ask you, after the interview is over, they'd say, you know, you're not from that college, which means you're not good enough. You're not good enough. So you feel, oh, I'm not good enough. So let me try to be good enough. And then they will give you a proposal. You can do some favors, you know?
Mm.
I would say it's a version of me too. But depends how, you know, it's the same thing. When somebody suggests something like this, you feel violated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You feel violated. Whatever, you know, action that may be, it's the fact that somebody suggests like this. Somebody makes you feel, first they make you feel small. And they'll say, okay, I can do something for you, maybe. So these kind of things are so much there. And you understand that people do these things because they don't know who they are. They are hurting deeply. Right. All this wisdom now I'm having now. I didn't have then. Then I was so mad. You know, because that person is hurting.
Yeah, and that's why they feel like they have to make you seem smaller or lesser so they can feel bigger or better. And yeah, anytime somebody does that move, that's showing you that.
Of all of us everywhere, you know, I'm fairer. I'm this thing. You are not good because you're not like this. You didn't go to that school. You didn't go to this place. You're too tall, you're too short, you're too fat, you're too thin. It's like discrimination of all sorts. So that person can have a one-upmanship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what they're telling me, right now, and it only works if we believe it.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, you just don't have any other way but just to believe those people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, oh, wow, what a mistake I did by believing in them.
Growing pains, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was part of the growth thing. I guess maybe that's part of the reason it happened was so that you would go through that and then grow through it and realize, wait a minute, no, that's not right. That's not correct.
I am not that. So life threw this curveball at me, and then I just was so dejected. Then I realized I had a lot of healing to do. I had a lot of healing from being bullied and from not feeling good enough, you know. And so years went by just to get myself out of it. So, but then now when people come, it's like I'm still healing. I'm still healing because it's your
always healing.
Your world. It's your world. Whatever you are doing, you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
And you're just grateful. You're just grateful that you have this chance to see in a different perspective.
And that's what I love about the sessions is, that's one of the things I love is, and that's what I think you're saying, is many times your clients will come with some of the same issues that you're working on. And that's when you realize, oh my gosh, I'm still working through this. And but when you're helping them to uncover and get their answers, it in turn is helping yourself and help get these, so that's that mirror coming in. And that is so beautiful how that works.
Yeah. It is. That's one of the favorite things is as your clients are coming in and they're working through different things, it kind of shows you where you're at.
Yeah.
What am I attracting this week for clients? Oh.
Yeah, and if they keep on coming, it's like, I really thought I had that figured out. I got through it.
Again, I thought we did. Oh, I mean, hi, welcome. No. Yeah. No, it is though. It's such a good measure of a mirror back to you as to what's coming through. It's powerful stuff. So is this the juicy part where we ask her to share a session that stands out? And
I think so. Besides the one that you already shared, is there anything else like with healing or anything else that you'd like to share?
Oh, there's a lot. I think I had a...
It pulls out the pile.
What would I say? What I learned about my session when somebody came recently, a young boy who was about 19 years old, and he comes from a very wealthy business family, and they manufacture juices that is boxed, you know, for many months. And so he said, you know, I want... he wanted a session because he was not doing too well. And he dropped out from school. And it turns out that he had gone into rehab a couple of times. And the first session that he came for was so much with the darkness, with the dark world. It was so full of... sadness and those entities who were working, the higher self said, you have to stop that. You have to stop immediately or else you'll go to a worse rehab by 2024. So he got really frightened. He got really scared. And then for a couple of months, he asked me for a session. But our session was so heavy afterwards. I was so tired. I really didn't want to do another session with him. But after a couple of months, he pleaded so much. So I said, okay, let's just do it. And then when we did that session, he had completely changed by then, his habits and all. And he saw a lifetime, which was somewhere in Africa, somewhere in the middle part of Africa, he said about 17,000 years ago or something like that, where they would have these group community living and community meditation. Even when they wanted to conceive children, they would do these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And it was at a very high level of consciousness that the community had. So he was, you know, he was talking about the way people made food. They would have something very simple, and the living was also so simple. But what he experienced is a deep sense of higher vibrations where they were communicating with these ascended masters, and they're getting initiated into a role of growing their vegetables, growing things through initiation by these light beings. So that was really wonderful. But what happened, the higher self said that, you know, he has these brilliant ideas and he had these past lives where he has been creators of planets. But you have come into a body of a human being. You have to first have the psychological understanding of who you are, how much is possible, how you can be grounded, and how you can take it, how you can move through your life purpose. So that was very enlightening for this young man who actually wanted to have a better way of, you know, packaging the food stuff that was, you know, staying in a packet for 6 months. So he would have these crystals, and he would make grids to raise the vibration of the juice boxes. So that it's more alive. It's more alive. So he had these ideas. So what I wanted to share was that it's very important to know how to put your bricks, the foundation of who you are, to be able to do this real work that you have come here to do. So yeah, so that's very important.
It is important, and that's one of the beautiful things that you learn in a session, and what so many people want to know is, who am I? Why am I here? You know, and things like that, and you get those answers. And that's what's so beautiful. You find out who, you know, the realness of you. I mean, we are such grand beings, but like you said, we are in human bodies now, and we forgot all that greatness that's out there that but we still have it within us. Yeah. But it's how to work with that in the human body. So that's that balancing thing. But that's what you get to see in a session. They will show you, this is how you can make this work. And I love that he's doing now the packaging and trying and making the foods more conscientiously. Yeah, that is really cool.
What a powerful thing, though, to be able to do that and set up that grid to raise the vibration of the juice.
I was thinking his age level, though. See, he's in that bracket where he was doing that.
You know, I'm not getting into the details of how he did it, or I was not getting into that, but the very fact that he is conscious enough to know that I'm here to serve a greater good, or what's not happening is happening now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I get to see a lot of trends.
Yeah.
Trends like people, like the since you asked me that in the level 3 class, that what do you notice? Now I notice a lot more now.
Good.
So, yeah. So I noticed that, you know, a lot of people who have died in the World War I, they have, many of them lost their, lost everything, their business.
In this life, they've lost everything?
No, during the World War I.
Got it, okay.
So, and then suddenly they have, you know, I think many of them have been reincarnated here in India. And, I mean, that's what I saw in my session. Some of them have this habit of just being, just surviving. They have wealth, they have a lot of money, but it's that survival instinct has not gone.
Understandably so.
Yeah. And the higher self said that, it's okay. They will understand. You know, you, Lipa, you don't have to worry. Yeah. So it's continuing. It'll change. The next generation will help them to understand this.
Yeah. Good. I'm noticing the time, and I don't want to run out of time before we get, let everybody know how they can reach you if they want to.
Yeah.
So what's the best way for them to reach you?
Oh, I have my... WhatsApp is the best way to get to me. So my number is there. Should I tell you my number now?
You can, or I mean, do you have a website or any site that it's on?
I have a website too. I have a website which has all the details. It's leeparath.in. And I can also be reached through WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger, whatever. So my WhatsApp number is 9899248248.
I'm going to tell you to go over to those live feeds with the comments and put that number in along with the sites. And that way people can find you on there as well, where it's just real easy and it's right there in front of them. That would be awesome.
That would be so wonderful. And the best part about doing this work is that people who are fans of Dolores Cannon, they talk to me and we are on the phone. It really doesn't matter whether they're coming for a session or not. We are just, wow, this is what happened, Dolores. So that is also one of the things that I really, really look forward to.
Oh, wonderful. You want to give that number again real quick?
I was going to say, that's going to bring in a lot of calls.
That's okay. And I've noticed people don't just call. Sometimes they'd like to talk to you and feel you before they call you. So they send messages more these days than calling.
Yeah. See if you're real, to see if you really mean it, that you'll take messages from them. Then maybe you might actually really take a phone call from them.
Right.
That's a big deal. So that's very special, and I know everybody out there realizes it, how special that is. Like, hey, just call and talk.
That
is a big deal.
That's what I enjoy doing. And then once I figured out that it's freedom that I'm seeking, so do what you really like doing. And what's there? I mean, it's all coming. And it's something that you really love talking about. Just enjoy that moment.
Beautiful. Actually, I was going to ask for a final message. I think that might have been it. That's gorgeous. That's a gorgeous
message. What you love. Yeah. Should we do a dance with her? Do what you love.
Do what you love.
That's awesome. I'm going to swing this over to Julia now because people keep asking about classes. I don't know about anybody else, but I get asked a lot. So can you tell the audience what's going on with classes? I know we've got some COVID restrictions going on. You guys are working with that, with the sites, with the websites and getting stuff out there for people. Yeah, tell them how they can become a practitioner and join this awesome family.
Weren't we talking about dancing earlier? Talk about dancing. That we had to do a lot of dancing this year as far to get this maneuvered. But that's what this has done. It's caused businesses and people to reinvent themselves and trying to figure out what will work and how can we get this working for everybody, because all of a sudden our live classes just went boom, we had to shut them down, okay. What do we do now? And we've been toying with the idea for quite a while because a lot of people were asking about it. It was an online level 2 class. We have our online level 1 class, so that's available. It's an evergreen class. It's always available. You can take it at any time and do it in the comfort of your home, at your own pace, in your pajamas, whatever you want to do. And then now we have the level 2 class. Next week, next Monday, we open enrollment for that. And then it just, this is our very first one. And so we want to work all the bugs out of it. We pretty much got them worked out, but we want to let this first group go through. So we're limiting the size of it to 100. And so when that's reached, it's shut, it's stopped. And then on the 1st of August, that class will start. And what's really, I'm really excited about is we've done the very best we can to recreate the live experience. So everything that, like the video material that you see, it's there. The live material you see, it's there. We'll be doing live sections. We have like 12 and a half, almost 13 hours of live material that we'll be actually working and interacting with everyone. So that's, the only thing we're not getting is everybody in one room, but it will be the format on Zoom where you can have 100 people on the screen And so we can all see each other. That's going to be exciting. So there will be interaction, you know, and on the Q&As and everything, we can take questions. That's very similar to the live class. We've done our very best to make it as much like that as we can. So that opens, like I said, on the actually it'll be on the website and everything on Monday. Monday morning it starts at 9 a.m. Central Time. The enrollment opens. And then the class actually starts on the 1st of August.
Wonderful.
So, and then we're another thing for anybody that feels like they're ready for level 3. This is another thing we're doing. We had to adapt. We absolutely had to adapt. And Tracy was a big instigator behind this.
And so I continued pushing.
I know a lot of people were after you, and you know, like, okay. And then so she had an in, and she's like, have you ever thought about doing this? So we're actually doing our first online level 3 classes. And it's like, you know.
I'm so excited for all of you that are doing it.
Yeah. Here. I mean, these classes sold out so fast, it was really funny. And so we're having to make more. So we're getting them. We're trying to accommodate all of the people wanting them because they're ready to go and they've been waiting for the live classes to come. And so again, we're just doing the best we can to adapt what we're doing. You know, we really thought we were going to be able to go to Bali. I guess I'll be making the official now. I think everybody in those classes knows now. It's, you know.
Is it officially not happening?
Officially not happening, no. They extended the, I don't know if I'll get this right. I may get it wrong. But in Australia, they were restricting, like, what they could, you know, they can fly domestically just fine, but going international, they had different restrictions on it, and we really thought it was going to lift in time to maybe be able to do that class in November, but then we just found out that no, now they're restricting them until March. So yeah. It's like, okay,
love you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's where we're doing our best. I mean, we will go to Bali. We love Bali, so we really want to get there. It's just not going to be this year, you know. Yeah. We're
going to breathe in deep and do what we do.
We're making plans for next year. We're looking at like a year from now. So hopefully that's safe. So we're kind of doing, we're in the talking phases of that and starting to make, you know, contact hotels, things like that, trying to make some preliminary arrangements. But that's where we are with all of that. But we do have a lot of things happening on the online front. So that makes it much more available to you.
And it sounds like you're trying to make it as much of an experience like a life class as possible, which is really bravo to you for doing that, because that's a lot of work. I know you're putting a lot of work into that. So on behalf of everybody that wants to attend, I'm going to say thank you to you, because I know that there's a lot that goes into that. Speaking of something you put a lot of work into, let's talk about SoulSpeak.
My little promoter over here, my gosh.
Talk a little bit about SoulSpeak and how do people get a hold of that class and that course.
Okay. Well,
because before you start, though, I do want to say SoulSpeak, this course is, to me, it is a must-have if you're going to be a QHHT practitioner. I use it every session. The knowledge behind this system with SoulSpeak, yes. And so I highly recommend it, and I think that anyone that is using SoulSpeak with their practice, they're going to win every time. So there's victory behind that. Okay, how do they find it?
How they find it? Well, first of all, the QHHT classes, find those on QHHTofficial.com. SoulSpeak, you can find it at JuliaCannon.com. Pretty easy. So, and just go, you'll see the button for it and just follow that. But that's it. And that course I've extended, it's extending from the book. It's like, you've got your basic information. The book is, you know, and I can say this about it because it came through me, you know, it wasn't, I didn't create this. It came through me. And so it is, you know, it's a really cool way of working with all these things, illnesses and aches and pains and diseases. And it's a whole different, it's not a different viewpoint. I mean, it is to many people, but I was like, I'm not the originator by any means. It was started back in when did Louise Hay, was she in the 70s?
Was that the 70s? I think it was the 70s.
Say that again.
1984 was the book was published in 1984 by Louise Hay,
who can heal yourself. And see, and that was a groundbreaker. That was, to me, that's the one that started the movement, you know, into that. And so this, you know, when they kept telling me, you've got to write this, I'm thinking, well, why? It's already out there, you know. And then they were like, well, this is more, you know. So each one is like their stepping stones. And so I always want to give kudos, you know, and the credit to the originators, because those people, again, the ones that were out there plowing the fields, those first fields, they had it the hardest. They were the groundbreakers, you know, and they were out there doing it when this was completely new stuff, especially in the States. I mean, way new thought. I mean, nobody was thinking this way. And so to do that and to get people kind of moving in that direction was a huge accomplishment. And so I just stand on the shoulders of giants, you know, when I come in with this, and they're just like, just stand, just do a little bit more. And so I did that. Then they've been pressuring me. They, again, you know, they did this business to get me to write the book. And then this time it's like they've been putting this huge pressure on me to get the course done. And it was like, okay, I guess this is needed, you know, because they just really, you got to get this out there. But it's an extension from the book. It goes further, and it gives even more information and more, like, Tracy's in there. I mean, I've got interviews with level 3 practitioners about different situations and what messages they're getting from their clients, you know, through their clients and stuff. From,
for myself.
Yeah, for herself. She was actually willing. I mean, and then she had something happen to her while we were doing this, and so we worked right through it, and it was wonderful. It was perfect timing.
So, why not? Yeah. What did I volunteer for? I don't know.
Yeah. I think you said you were the poster child of every ache and pain so that everybody could understand the process. Yeah.
My picture should be on the cover.
Well, anyway, you can find that course at juliacannon.com, and I'm just real excited. That's been out, I think we're right at a month now, so that's very new. And and if you're in, I do have a coupon code I'm happy to give out, and so you can get a discount on that on that course, and it's called, I don't know if you can read it.
Early Bird SSP is what I see.
Yeah, that's it. Early Bird SSP, and that will get you 15% off. That's not going to last forever. It's just
That's for Soul Speak.
That's for Soul Speak. Yes.
Okay.
Perfect. And I do have, anybody wants to do QHHT level 1. We have this code, and I think you have a code, don't you, Tracy? If you'd rather.
Yeah, lots of love. We're going to ignore that one, and you're going to go with the magic is real.
Yeah, either one of those, you get the same discount, so use it. The magic is real is Tracy's code, so I'm happy to.
I would be honored if you guys want to use the magic is real.
Awesome. So anyway, if you resonate, if you feel so inclined, if this feels like the right time for you, that's wonderful, and go for it. You know, we're giving as many opportunities to you to start moving in this path of helping others, if that's your passion. And like Lipa said, that was what she kept wanting. You know, you're trying all these different things, and it was that helping factor. You really wanted to help others. And then this was your path. So it's wonderful.
Thank you, Julia. It's not easy to step into legendary mom's shoes. It's very hard. And the way you have, you know, made yourself get there, not by being Dolores Cannon, but by being Julia, Julia Cannon. And it's such a joy for us. And we're so grateful that you're carrying forward this work. And I also feel so honored to be a part of this academy. So I'm always for the academy, you know, because when the academy is, when the academy grows, everyone else grows. So it's a big honor that you have given to the academy.
Thank you. That is really sweet. Thank you so much. You're going to make me cry. So that's thank you.
Keep going. I want to see this.
No. Okay.
I want to say hi to Tiffany, who just joined us in the chat room. And yeah, I mean your daughter.
My daughter?
Hi.
She's going to be like, never again.
Oh, yeah. She's probably trying to reach me, and I'm not answering. She's like, oh, that's right.
She's on the show.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I think, I'm trying to remember how I met your daughter, Lipa, in Hawaii. And yeah. How old is she?
She's in Mount Shasta, too, right?
Yeah, she's all over the place. So we call ourselves Julia and Dolores, so we are a team.
Well, I was thinking, I think she's maybe close to the same age as my daughter. And
how old is Tiffany?
Tiffany's going to kill me.
She is going to kill you. But she is saying, hi, mommy.
she always calls me mommy. I love it. She's 36. But anyway, I think your daughter might be a little younger, though, right?
She's 28.
28, okay. But what I'm thinking is, you know, you were talking about how you were raised in a family of metaphysicians. And like, see, our daughters have been raised like that for sure, you know. And so it'll be interesting to hear their stories one day.
Yes. They are the future.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
So, Tiffany, wish you all the best.
That's awesome. She put her age on there for you to help you out, Julia, but you got it before she posted it.
Yeah, I had to do some quick subtraction. I was this old when I had her. I was so.
I always tell my kids I'm 27. So, it makes it really easy for them to remember. It never changes.
That works.
It's like, this is my son. He's 35. I'm 27. Yeah. It works.
Anyways, thank you so much, Lipa, for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me on this show. And, you know, I had a little incantation from Magic of Isis.
Okay. Wonderful.
And that's a very beautiful incantation for those people who are light workers, star seeds. And such people would really resonate, and it's for them. So, miracle healing incantations. You say this incantation anytime you need some miraculous energy. When you say it, pray with feeling and believe. Then let go and allow the magic to flow according to the higher wisdom and divine timing. Love and light, peace and power, miracle healing descends this hour. The wings of Isis drenched with feeling, nothing escapes her miracle healing. Surrendered to her from my heart so true, which is now exactly what I choose to do. Gratitude to Isis for the miracle coming to me. Her love and grace now set me free.
Wow. I love that.
Wow.
Beautiful. And that book that you grabbed up to read that out of looked like it was pretty, it looked beautiful as well, as I was catching some of the pages as you picked it up. That looks like a nice little addition.
Name of that again? Of the book?
This is Alana Fairchild.
Beautiful.
Oh, she's an amazing light worker too.
Yeah.
Very nice. And I mean, it's simple, it's beautiful, but you can feel the power in it.
Mm-hmm. What a nice way to end. So we're all like,
absolutely. Thank you so much. I want to wish you a happy birthday again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you once again. Thank you, Tracy. And
we should have had you wear a little birthday hat or something.
Oh, thank you. Was that Kaya who was wishing me with a gift?
No, that was Don. That's Don, our producer.
What's his name?
Don.
Don? Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Don.
Yeah. he found that happy birthday tune real quick.
Oh, that's so sweet. I appreciate it. Yeah.
So everyone, I love you. Thank you so much for being here. Tracy, thank you again. Thank you for keeping us going.
Hi everyone. until next week, and then I think we take a little break, another break again, because I'm going to be at the East Eddy Ranch over on the 7th, so we won't do
make sure you take lots of pictures. or lots of something. Something
that we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, so you can share it when we come back.
I can't wait. It's going to be fun. If you don't know what that is, I'm going to go sky watch for the UFOs. So it'll be fun. So thank you. Bye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Love you. Bye.